You are now tuned in to the Wrestling Purists.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are the Wrestling Purists. My name is Ryan.
My name is Jeff.
And woo-wee, do we have a doozy for you today. It is ECW November to Remember from the year 1995. Before we get into it, just want to make sure you guys know, if you want to support us, whether you're listening to us, watch to us, you can like and subscribe our stuff. But if you want to support us, you can head on over to Patreon. That is patreon.com/thewp. That is T-H-E-W-P. Any support would be greatly appreciated. Jeff, so we're here in ECW. It's November. It's 1995. We haven't had an actual pay-per-view yet from ECW. So this is so this is pre-mass transit, I guess would be a good point in ECW history to jump off of. What do you remember about ECW in the early to mid 90s?
This is a time where there's steam starting to build here, and you start to see some of your wrestlers and characters and gimmicks are in the infancy, and being born amongst your eyes. So I love it. Full disclosure, I enjoyed the show. We'll get into it later, obviously. But yeah, it's just early ECW, and it's fun to go back and watch the early days, because you know how it ends. Everyone knows how it ends and what they become. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of tend to forget how it started.
Yeah, and this show is littered with some people you've seen within the last year. This is people that don't even wrestle anymore. This is full of just names you're like, oh wow, haven't heard that one in a while. And we'll start right out of the bat here. Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley. Ring announcer for the opening contest between Don E. Allen and the Broad Street Bully. Well, it doesn't get far. So Bubba Ray is with the rest of the Dudley clan, and that's not my phrasing. That would be Joey Styles' phrasing. Not to get it twisted. Bubba Ray kind of looks like a ringmaster here. Whole top hat, and
he's got blazer, he's got bow tie, cane, he's got the whole nine. He's all ready to go.
Yeah. So he's trying to be like Michael Buffer. Let's get ready too, and then constantly just stutters over the word rumble, gets really frustrated, takes out everyone in sight. And then it's kind of like an impromptu match. We have Bubba Ray and the Broad Street Bully, which is not really much of a match.
The ref counts it and calls for the bell. So
yeah, it's a match. Yeah.
It was Joey Styles. You know, this isn't even a match.
Yeah, boy, it is. But yeah, gets the three. So, in the first like little snippet of the show here, we get what is a no contest for the one between Broad Brushy Bully. Bubba Ray Dudley wins in under a minute. So not a whole lot going on there. But the crowd was really hot for this. Really hot.
The crowd's hot for the whole show. Mm-hmm. And this is a testament to wrestling. And I try to explain to some of the younger crowd that wrestling's never going to be as big as it was. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean it can't be good and it can't be great. Mm-hmm. But man, back in those days, and even I mean, way before 95, obviously, but you know, the crowd was just so hot for everything, and not in a inside marquee way, you know, just they're behind what they're behind, and what they're not, they're not. And that's just it in a nutshell.
Yeah. So right after this, we have Paulie out, ask for the lights to be dimmed. When they come back on, Sabu has made his return back to ECW. Crowd pops for that. The two shake hands, they hug it out, and then the crowd absolutely goes ballistic. So at this point, Sabu decided to go to New Japan for a little bit and then make a pit stop. Yeah.
WCW. Yeah.
Pit stop at WCW too. Yeah. And then made some other stops around Japan while he was over there. But all in all, this was his return back to back to ECW. He would be here until the end of the 2000s. So right before everything decided to crumble around him.
And I mean, I know you just said it, but how over was he when that, I mean, they knew what they were going to see, but mm-hmm. I mean, still when the lights came on, he was in the ring, the roof blew off the place.
Yeah. So our next match is a little interesting. It ends up being Conan versus Jason. Jason, you might know in later years, would be a sidekick of Just Incredibles. But Taz comes out. He's the special guest referee for this. It's kind of very quick and kind of goofy in a way.
Yeah, it's goofy. It's impromptu, but I mean, they got over the point. I mean, it laid some seeds for Taz later in the show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I didn't mind that. Conan, man, we'll get into some other wrestlers too, but Triple H with some heat, mm-hmm. with some heaters back in the day. Mm-hmm. Conan looks like $1 million. And I mean, again, I've seen him like that, but to a lot of, you know, the younger audience, they've never seen Conan like that. They just seen Max Moon or K-Dog, which are fine in their own right as well. But this iteration of Conan, man, he is ripped. He looks so good. He does that power bomb, and he just pulled, like, there wasn't any technique in it at all. He just pulled him up. Like, whether you wanted to come up or not, you went up, because he was just that much of a hoss.
Yeah.
You know, just side note.
Conan often was very briefly referred to as the Mexican Hulk Hogan.
I mean, I believe it. Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful stuff. Okay. Next match, it's pretty historic. Okay. We get El Puerto Riqueño, also known as Pablo Marquez, taking on Stevie Richards. And I say this is historic because Stevie Richards is accompanied by the Blue Meanie. This is Meanie's debut in ECW. It's a real crazy story because obviously ECW is they were on all of their shows out of the 2300 arena, and there was Steel City Wrestling right across the way, so this is in Pittsburgh, obviously. So the Blue Meanie was actually asked by Raven specifically to come work with Stevie Richards.
Who am I to tell Raven? I'm not a Meanie fan, but I do love me some Raven. So there you go.
Yeah.
Also, Kai, while I have you, yes, it's 1995. And from someone, you as well, who've gone to a lot of wrestling shows, look at the canvas. Mm-hmm. Look at the ropes. Look at the rope apron. Like, look at the aprons. Like two of the sides look like just tarp. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just, it is not, it gets better, you know. It's not as bad as it was, but it also goes to show you that it's just, it's not wrestling in its purest form as in wrestling, but it's just raw, extreme wrestling. And at that point in their history, they were not hanging on by a thread, but, you know, just chugging along.
Yeah. And you have to think too, this is 1995, arguably, you know, the worst year for professional wrestling. We hadn't gotten the NWO yet. You still got from this point, you have about another 6 months or so, maybe 7 to 8. WWF, this is, gosh, it's the era where you've got all of the characters.
Yeah, but with that being said, that, well, I guess 95 still is, but they're starting to, it's starting not to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're scrambling, trying to figure out what to do. You're right. It's just a weird time in wrestling. And then up comes ECW.
Yeah. And this was kind of the perfect opportunity for ECW to do what they're known for. And you're looking at the two big dogs essentially in the professional wrestling world. And it's just, you take what they're doing right and wrong, and then some type of amalgamation in the middle, and you have and you get ECW.
But
this match is also pretty quick. Stevie Richards hits a couple of power bombs. He brings the Meanie in, goes up for a moonsault, and reminded me of me, because I'm not a heights guy at all. But he gets to the top and then doesn't do his moonsault because he's scared of heights. So when he does do it, he misses, just eats all of it. And then you get El Puerto Ricano. He tries to win via the most devastating move in all of WWE. That'd be the roll up. Only gets two. He eats a Stevie kick. Steven Richards wins. But this is the start of the Blue World Order, it's also hard to believe that in November 95, you know, we would have to wait until June of 96 to get the New World Order.
Also, Stevie Richards with that super kick. He hits that super kick and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. There isn't any, like, you know, super kick party, 20 super kicks into a transition. No. One, good night, it's over with.
Yeah, this is when he was still a credible opponent, I guess you could say. Up next, tag team match between the Pitbulls. That would be Pitbull number one, Gary Wolf. Pitbull number two, Anthony Durante, being accompanied by Smoke Show Francine. And they're taking on the Eliminators. That would be your boy Perry Saturn and John Cronus. And they are accompanied by by Jason, who we saw earlier just get absolutely destroyed. Jeff, what did you think of this? This is to this point, this is the longest match of the night. We're five matches in.
I enjoyed this match a lot. I like this match. This is not old school tag team wrestling, as in like Horsemen, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnights, not like that. Yeah. But you know, your next crop, not next crop, but that your 90s style tag team wrestling. This was a really good match to me. The Eliminators are great. Cronus is great. Perry Saturn, you know, is one of my favorite all-time workers of all time. He's great in this. Pitbull 1 and 2 are also good. It's just a really good work rate. The match is good. Cronus also, this is early too, because Cronus, it was weird seeing him kind of as heavy and out of physical shape like he was, because toward, you know, as they went on, I mean, he got in really good shape. Like, he was in really good shape. So, you know, I forgot that, you know, he kind of looked like that. But they have a spot where they do like the one-footed like moonsault. He, you know, almost like a breakdance, and Perry Saturn steps in his hand and he kind of hoists him up like he's going to throw him over a wall. He doesn't flip over the, you know, outside the ring. I mean, it was just nonstop action. Again, you have spots that are being done. It doesn't look like a lot of cooperation. I enjoyed it. Now, I mean, it's not a technical masterpiece by any means, no. But I just thought it was a solid, solid tag match for the time.
No, I agree. And it was absolutely physical. And I think that makes up for a lot of the other missteps that they have. And they work really well together too. And you know, the Eliminators really wanting to make a statement. I really think they achieved what they wanted to tell within the match itself. Good on everybody just telling just a great story. But it kind of turns out to be all for naught. Sorry, my notes just went away here. The Pitbulls do get the win. Just from start to finish, very physical. Not the smoothest, like you said, but it's definitely, I would say, appealing. I think that's the best word for it.
Yeah. There's no, there's not really wasted, you know, any wasted movements. It's everybody's working together. It's boom, boom, boom. Like you said, it's physical. You got spots, you got outside the ring stuff. You got a mixture of a little bit of everything. And again, it's not, you know, a technical masterpiece. No, but it's a good tag match. And just like you said, you could really see Saturn and Cronus trying to like, hey, we're a legit tag team and we're putting everybody on notice type of deal.
They definitely fulfill that end of it. After the match, Jason tries to force himself on Francine. Jason eats a chair shot, but then the Eliminators hit total elimination. So they're the last standing team. Jason's such a sleazy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just totally healing it up. Up next, the Mexican death match. This would be between Mr. Psicosis and one Rey Mysterio Jr.
Okay, so one, Psicosis is my favorite luchador of all time. Two, Kyle, how did you feel about this match? Or let me get your thoughts first.
Yeah, you're right. I enjoyed it. I've seen this match before. The first time I watched it, I didn't fully enjoy it. And then the second time around, I enjoyed it more. And I think the stipulation, I think could either make or break your opinion about this match. I didn't have a problem with it because I had watched Vader Cactus Jack, Halloween Havoc 93 when they did their Texas Death and Death match. So the vibe of that match, so the vibe for me was similar. It wasn't the cleanest, but I think the fact that it's a death match, I think at least keeps you entertained.
That's all fair points. Me, it's not that I didn't like it. I don't think I like the storytelling. I just think it was a lot for me. Mm-hmm. So the stipulation, that's fine. I understand that. But it looked like Ray got hurt outside the ring on his knee when he tried to jump off the guardrail.
Yep.
But then he got back in and Psychosis did like the Phoenix Splash lane on his knee, and then he looked looked legit hurt. Because, you know, he got to the standing 10 count, but yeah, he didn't make it. He really didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let the match go, and then it just kind of went forever. And toward the end, it was fine. But you probably could have cut off. I mean, it definitely was too long. But I figured that time would have to be made up somewhere with, you know, when we had one match in the same time that we were supposed to have three, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, now that I think about it, like you said, I'll go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
It's not that I didn't enjoy it, but it was just a lot of things going on all over. Yes. My brain was trying to take in, you know, so many things, and maybe I just need to take it for what it is. But man, there was just a lot going on in this.
Yeah. And I will say that both times I've watched it, I still don't like the ending to this. It feels very incomplete, to where you watch it and it doesn't seem like Psychosis has had enough damage to him to where, you know, he would not only get pinned, but then not answer the 10 count. It made him look a little weak.
And he legit killed Rey Mysterio for 12-13 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Not a fan of this one.
For me personally, it was better the second viewing. I mean, by all means, not a great match. These two will go on to have better matches in WCW. But this is, I think, multiple viewings are required. But if you're only going to watch this once, it's not great.
Yeah, I'm about to check it out again.
Following the match, we see Jason again. So he gets Ray to come back into the ring, offers his managerial services. Ray Mysterio refuses. He gets upset. Ray Mysterio does take out Jason, and botch the head scissor. and that's before the Eliminators come out, and then 911 makes the save. So overbooking here a little bit post match for me.
100%. And then 911 and Rey Mysterio are, I mean, they're not a tag team, but Joey Styles is making them sound like they are. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So that puts us halfway through this card. Our next match we'll get here to in just a sec, but if you enjoy what you're watching, you enjoy what you're listening to, you'd like to support us, go head on over to Patreon. It's patreon.com/thewp. That's CHEWP. Any support would be greatly appreciated. And you could play a hand in selecting one of our future reviews.
There we go.
All right. On to our next match. It's a tag match. It's pretty much an everything is on the line kind of deals. So it's the World Television title and the World Tag titles. Whoever makes the pin is the number one contender now for the world title. So a lot of stipulation going on here. But essentially you have, you have ECW, television champion Too Cold Scorpio, and the Sandman, and they are taking on the Public Enemy, Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge. Worth noting now, Woman is with Too Cold Scorpio and the Sandman.
Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah, I think you meant Flash. I think you meant Flash Funk.
So
go ahead.
This was I'll let you go. I just want to get into the stipulation. I think obviously this is overbooked, but I did enjoy that stipulation. Just from not, you know, like when's the last time you heard the stipulation? So I did enjoy that stipulation. Now they may or may not have used it correctly here, but just in general, I enjoyed it, and you know, wonder why, you know, this couldn't be used, you know, maybe now, or, you know, and whatever in said promotion, especially if you have, you know, two guys that are tag teaming, but not really tag teaming. They're, yeah, I don't know, like Raven and Dreamer or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but I did enjoy like that stipulation, but go ahead, God.
I do want to clarify, if somebody pins Too Cold, he loses the title to whoever pins or submits him. So whether it's Grunge or Rocco Rock. And then whoever scores the winning fall will face Mikey Whipwreck later in the evening for the title. This is an ECW match. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a Sandman ECW match. And what I mean by that is, if you're looking for a technical masterpiece, if you're looking for what Too Cold Scorpio can normally do in the ring, you get a little bit of that, but we are far and in between what we get here.
Yeah. Sandman is just, God, he's just awful. He's awful.
Yeah.
And he looks like a fan. Like, he looks like a fan.
Yeah.
So he just, if I have to watch that over the rope kick one more time, you know, where he kind of stands at the apron, you know, like you springboard into the ring and then with a kick, and shout out to 95 though. He is in Shaquille O'Neal Shacknosis, Reebok. So I won't give him that, but he's in those, he's in Zubats like pants. It's just awful. And then you have, and PE's not any better. It's not like they're, you know, Arn and Tully. They're terrible too. Yeah, they're awful. Too Cold's Too Cold. He's great. You know, I love me some Too Cold Scorpio, but man, yeah. There's not too much you can do in this match. It just was a cluster F, if you will.
Yeah. It's, you know, the saying, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Oh yeah.
This is ECW trash.
Yes.
This is, you could like this. It could be your cup. It could be your cup of tea. It couldn't be, you know, I'm kind of right in the middle. It was entertaining in spots, but in other spots, it was like, what are we doing?
Yeah. As I was watching and it was like, I was like, oh, okay. Like it was a, you know, up and down and up and down and up and down. And then on top of that, it took them 20 minutes to get to the ring. It
Yeah.
was, you know, the entrance, you know. So I started thinking, once I saw that, I was like, okay, well, either it's just wide open
Yeah.
because it is ECW, or they really do have a bunch of time that they actually need to fill, or I don't, you know, you know those things go. Who knows what happened or didn't happen or what was supposed to happen. But yeah, the timing was off as well.
Yeah. But Johnny Grunge and the Sandman get the hot tag here late in the match. You know, Grunge is a house of fire. then we get some miscommunication. Rocco Rock takes out Johnny Grunge. Sandman falls on top of Johnny Grunge and gets the three. I
Crowd
don't
pops.
know. Is there a better way to put it?
Stumbled, yeah, backed into, yeah, no, you're right. That's fair.
Yeah, so with all that being said, the Sandman wins.
Tables, chair, blood.
The Sandman wins the match for his team. Not only do they retain their tag titles, the television title is retained. The Sandman gets his world title shot later against Mikey Whipwreck. Maybe they'll hold all the gold.
And these are also your pre-ECW belts.
Yeah.
These are your, were the Eastern or Eastern Championship Wrestling, I believe. Yeah. These are Eastern Championship Wrestling belts, you know, before they get into their, you know, to the height of their powers.
Yeah. Post match, Too Cold Scorpio making the save. The Sandman's out, and how does he bring him back to his feet? Pours a little bit of beer down his throat. It's
He
funny. And he's dancing.
comes to life.
Yeah, everybody's dancing, and it leads perfectly into our next matchup. Golly, it is Todd Gordon and Bill Alfonso.
And but before we get to this, you're also getting a serious Gardner too, before the neck brace, before you forget that he's actually not bad. You know, he's actually all right at what he does. That's before he kind of came into his own as well.
Yes. Beulah is the special guest referee for this. It's exactly what you think it is. I mean,
Side note, never was a Francine guy, always a Beulah guy.
yeah. So if you don't know, Todd Gordon, and this is from his Wikipedia page, is an American businessman. He was the owner, well, he was the founder. Sorry, I'll back up a second. He was the founder of Eastern Championship Wrestling. He owned it until he sold it to Paul Heyman. This would be the same year, it'd be in 1995. But yeah, so not a professional wrestler. And then let's talk about Bill Alfonso. Jeff, you seem like a Bill Alfonso guy.
Okay, one, God, you can go to hell. Two, I am in fact a Bill Alfonso guy. So I probably am not the person to ask. I understand the views of mine don't speak for everybody's. But boy, do I love me some Bill Alfonso, and boy, did I love this. I just absolutely loved it. And I understand it's not – yes, this isn't professional wrestling. I understand that. And you guys, I guess you don't know me on this show, but you'll get to know me. I am a wrestling purist, and I do not like hokey. And boy, this is hokey to the high heavens. But I'm also a sucker for any, you know, done well manager, you know, manager. And I don't mean like in a Vince McMahon way. Vince is Vince. But I mean in an old school, you know, manager slash valet entanglement, you know, like owner, you know, someone trying to get their comeuppance of two guys that are, or two gals that aren't wrestlers. I love it because it's not being presented as actual wrestling. You know, these guys aren't, they're not real wrestlers. That's not what you're going to get. And you know, and you might think I'm crazy, but go back and watch the show and watch how hot this angle is. Yes. In 2021, the climate we're in now, you can't, I mean, I would say Bill Alfonso punched her, but that would be doing him a favor because it wasn't a punch. He kind of swept her with a crack in his elbow, like, you know, like the bend in his elbow. It wasn't even, you know, he looked like he wanted to throw a punch and a clothesline at the same time. And that's what came out. And she was damn near falling over before he even hit her.
Yeah.
Struck her. But man, he got heat for that. And again, like I enjoyed this, and I understand, like, again, I'm in the minority here. I shouldn't, you shouldn't either, but if you do, then you can be a schmuck like me because I enjoyed it. And then you had Taz come out and then, I mean, I'll let you do your thing, Cod, but you know, you're getting, again, they're sowing the seeds for what's to come, and he cuts a promo, and it's everything you want, but go ahead.
Yeah. You're right. It's an absolute mess. It has really no right to be called professional wrestling. But they are wrestling and they're being professionally paid on a show. So this isn't the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I've seen Heroes of Wrestling. Okay.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. The bar is low for me. Okay.
If I can describe it, and tell me what you think, Cod, it's almost like, I mean, everybody has a job. It's almost like if you saw your two managers, you know, or a manager and a superior, you know, however you slice it at your workplace, like not fighting, but, you know, just getting in like a shoving match, you know, you're looking from afar like, oh, like this is going to be good, you know, when, yep, you know, it's not going to be good. It's actually not going to be good.
Yeah.
But you're just interested to see these characters or these two people, you know, like what's actually going to unfold.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
You're intrigued.
Yeah. But the finish that Jeff is referring to, there is no ref after she has struck. So Taz is coming out to do his job. He's already officiated one match on the evening. Comes out. You know, you got Todd Gordon going for the pin. You get a one. You get a two. He stops. Nails Todd Gordon. Puts Bill Alfonso on top. Counts the three. Bill Alfonso is the winner.
And he's Alfonso's bleeding like a stuck pig, boy.
Oh, God, love it. Yeah. And what I can only say is one of the best ECW promos in its history, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Taz is on the mic, just starts ripping the crowd open. He's saying that they don't care about his neck injury. And, you know, at the same time, they cared about other guys that were hurt. He says Bill Alfonso is the only man that cared about him. You know,
Cod, this is great because I'm not even gonna say there's some truth to this. Everything he said was the truth.
Yeah.
I mean that's the legit truth. People, there was a time where people didn't like Taz and they didn't give a hell about him. And everyone loved, me included, everyone loved Sabu. And, you know, we worshiped the ground that Sabu walked on, and nobody cared about Taz. And not like in a sense of, you know, he needed to be Hulk Hogan. But, you know, he kind of was Mr. ECW, you know, as well. And then he got hurt, and everybody, and then that Taz left. I mean, then Sabu left, and everybody wanted Sabu back. And, you know, this also, and they've talked about it. We just go online and stuff. They don't really like, they still don't really like each other. You know, they wrestled and he broke Sabu's neck and again, and, you know, and jaw, and they don't really like each other. You know, and I think that sells, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's professional wrestling. You work with people in your day-to-day life that you don't like, but, you know, you guys got to do a job and do whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. So this was great. And like I said, it leads to the FTW championship, and it leads to Alfonso flipping and RVD and yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I enjoyed this.
Essentially, I know a lot of people, you know, credit Shane Douglas and his promo about the company is kind of like the turning point. I think this was what kind of got the ball rolling. I think this is kind of the start to the build to where they would get at, like, you know, at barely legal here in about a year and a half. You know, this is the seeds that are planted.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would say I love me some Shane Douglas franchise too. I would say his promo kind of cracked the door, and this one kind of just knocked it open. It blew the door open, and then because from here, it's like you said, it's not long. They're making that transition from Eastern Championship Wrestling to ECW. Yeah, they're ECW here, but they're kind of not. You know, they're crawling. But man, after this, they pick up the ball and they just take off.
The one line that I have here in my notes that Taz says about Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman said not to worry, but Taz didn't have a fat Jew for a father to pay for everything.
Yeah. 1995.
Boy, I tell you, you know, and you know what, we don't, you know, and that's straight from the horse's mouth there. And it's one of those things where we go back and we watch these old shows and it's like, ooh, that would not fly in 2021.
Like, no. I mean, I don't love that. I'm saying I love the good old days though, where you could, you don't need to be saying that, but you could get away with some stuff and everybody wasn't just all butthurt about everything, even though it's wrestling and everything else. But yeah, you could do almost what you wanted back in those days.
Yeah. Well, next match is the ECW Championship match between defending champion Mikey Whipwreck and the Sandman. Sandman making his way out to the ring. He's attacked from behind by none other than Steve Austin. He stun guns him on the guardrail, gets some chair shots, Singapore cane shot. And then he just challenges Mikey Whipwreck to, you know, to take Sandman's spot. Doing the research for this show, fans were promised that this would be Steve Austin's debut here on the show. And obviously there's only a couple of matches left or time remaining. So it's like, something's got to happen.
And he was fired from WCW.
Yeah.
And then he kind of was in limbo and went to ECW, and Heyman kind of just let him cut promos and do his own thing. Cause to be honest, I mean, Paulie is a lot of things. But letting you speak your grievances, he has no problem doing, whether about him or not. So yeah, and he was just cutting promos, and you know, until he healed up. I want to say, can he break his leg? I don't know. I think he had a lower leg injury or something like that. But yeah, when he was all squared away, we saw him at the pay-per-view.
So it was a triceps injury.
Tricep, okay.
And he got released and went to ECW, just like you said. This is short, but the character work is just fantastic. At one point, the crowd is chanting for Hogan. So he gives Whipwreck a big boot and a leg drop.
Yeah. Leg drop solid, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Real solid.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Listen, I love me some Hogan, but Hogan ain't getting the height that Austin got. I can promise you that, Jack.
No. But yeah, the finish here, we get a sunset flip from Mikey Whipwreck off of the ropes, pulls Austin's tights, gets the win. I liked the finish. Maybe they just didn't have enough time, or because it's only, I mean, it's went less than five minutes.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So they get less than 5 minutes, but okay. And Cod, correct me, please, here. Call me out. I'm not exaggerating. Too Cold Scorpio and Sandman, they probably took, every bit of maybe 8 or 9 minutes to come out to the ring. Maybe 10, but a solid 8 minutes, right?
It feels like you're being generous, but you're probably spot on.
Okay. No, yeah, okay. So we probably say at least 10 minutes to get out there and then do their pose. And yeah, so the fact that, it is ECW, so take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, for them to only get 5 minutes roughly, but I tell you all that to tell you too that. If done correctly, and it was done correctly, it didn't look bad. The roll up was legit. It wasn't obviously they had to do something quick, but it looked like it was, the ending was not quality, but it was executed correctly. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I forgot to make note that at the beginning of the match, Austin says he's going to pretend that Mikey Whipwreck is Eric Bischoff. It was some motivation. It's just great work. It goes with Mikey Whipwreck's character, the roll-up. Steve Austin playing this kind of rogue, kind of jilted employee.
Like anti-hero type deal.
He looked like a star.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's no way at the time we would be able to tell that what he became was going to happen. But the fact that he still got over and managed to put Mikey Whipwreck over at the same time, it's funny because I don't think Mikey Whipwreck was with, I was thinking Mikey Whipwreck wasn't with ECW for that long, but he was with him for a while.
Forever.
Yeah. But you look at Steve Austin, he came in September of 95. And then his last match would be December to Dismember the following month. So it would be December of 95. So Austin was only with the company for a couple of months. And the fact that he cut all these promos, he's putting over Mikey Whipwreck. He's in these big matches. At the time, you've got to give credit to both guys. You got to give credit to Austin for the promos and then Heyman for being like, hey, just come in and be you.
Yeah, he didn't make them do anything or be anything or you can come, but don't do or say this. No, he said, hell, come and do whatever the hell you want. And there you go.
Yeah, so I have to share this about Steve Austin. And This is his quote. He says, Paulie gives me a call and gives me a free platform to start venting and cutting the promos and putting a microphone in front of my face. I get a chance to speak what's on my mind and from my heart, and I find that it is where the best promos come from, the ones that come from your gut and your heart and from your brain, because you've got to feel them. Words don't mean anything if you don't mean them. So that was the basis for everything that Stone Cold was to become.
There you go.
So it, in a way, you know, Paul Heyman was indirectly responsible for the Stone Cold character.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that might be my most fun match of the night to this point. Everything involved, just I enjoyed the hell out of it. Austin beats him up after the match to get his heat back. So everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. up next, we get Hack Myers taking on Sabu. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know who this person was.
I mean, I've seen him before, but I mean, that's not saying much. I mean, you know, don't feel any type of way, Kai, because you don't know who Hack Myers is.
Yeah. I know he did some stuff in WCW, did some stuff in WWF after this. But I was looking at them. I'm like, Hack Myers. I know that Hack was Sandman in WCW. And I was like, well, no, he was already on this show. It didn't make any sense. And like,
yeah.
You gotta just be watching me here just sit and the wheels are spinning and the smoke's flying out of my ears. Like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, that's the beauty of pro wrestling. I did it the other day. I've been watching wrestling my whole damn life, and there was somebody on TV, and I was like, who in the hell is this guy? You know, like, not that I'm not special, not that I know everything about pro wrestling, but man, you know, I'm pretty plugged in, and I was like, I have no idea who this guy is, you know. But yeah, you know, it'll slip past you sometimes.
I didn't like this match.
I was not a fan either. It's just, well, one, Sabu matches, you either like Sabu or you don't, and that's fair. But also on top of that, this guy isn't a guy you put with Sabu.
No.
He can't do any of the Sabu stuff or spots or anything. So yeah, this match was terrible.
No, it was about so this match goes for about 13 minutes, and I would say about the 5 or 6 minute mark, your boy's blown up.
Oh, yeah, he is. Listen, hats off to him for coming and getting a paycheck. That's just what it was, a paycheck.
I can tell
you. Well, it's Paulie, so maybe he got paid.
Yeah. But,
yeah, not a good match by any means.
I'm not going to waste anybody's time. Sabu wins this match. Okay, you're not going to have Hack Myers go over Sabu on his return to ECW. It's just not going to happen.
Nope.
But yeah, don't watch this one. It's actually this is probably the worst match of the night for me. And that's excluding, you know, all of the problems we had at the beginning of the show where it was just stuff with, you know, Bubba and then the Conan squash. Even the Blue Meanie stuff I liked. You know, Steve Richards match I liked. This was just they gave this match 13 minutes.
Well, they were just trying to give Sabu his due, but man, I don't know. That Hack's the best you got. Well, I mean, it's not the best you got, but I don't know.
I don't think Hack's the best you got. I think they're
but it's. This is rough.
I mean, you could have put Chubby Dudley in there. I mean, there were.
You could have put anybody besides this guy.
I mean, Big Dick Dudley.
On his crutches.
Dances with Dudley. Any Dudley you could put in there. But yeah, before we get to the main event, Terry Funk is on the mic. He curses and catches Jack about what happened the last time they were all at the 2300 arena. Funk is set on fire. It does lead into the main event. It's Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer taking on your boy Raven and Cactus Jack. I will give this to you.
Okay, so I mean, this is God. Would it be fair to say that this is a classic ECW match?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, yeah. So it's just complete bedlam. I mean, it's blood, it's chairs, it's tables. I mean, it's everything. This is an ECW match at its finest. This is the crowd wanting blood, wanting people's heads sawed off. Because that was the climate at the time. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, that's the climate at the time. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I understand if somebody didn't. Now, I'm also on, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm also on here, you know, getting on AEW and other people for doing like garbage wrestling. But back in the day here at this time, it was different. It wasn't, I mean, yeah, I guess, yes, technically it wasn't on pay-per-view, but it wasn't on broadcast television like it was now for everybody to see. You know, you, these guys were stars, but I don't know. Again, I'm probably being a homer. I'm probably being a hypocrite of myself, but it just feels different than it does now. I guess maybe because at this point, maybe everything's already been done. You know, I don't know, but if you don't like this style of match or ECW style of match, you're probably not going to like this. And I'm not going to knock anybody or hold you to that. I love Raven. I love Terry Funk, and you know they can do no wrong in my eyes. So I'm probably not the guy you need to ask.
Yeah. One thing I want to make note of is the ECW gimmick Cactus Jack has going on right now. He's like a pro WCW guy. So in this match, he comes out in a Dungeon of Doom shirt. He takes off his shirt during the match. He has another shirt on underneath with Bischoff's face on it. And it says, "Forgive me, Uncle Eric."
WCW getting a lot of heat, man, during this time. Yeah.
You're darn right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
rightfully so.
Yeah. This match for me gets overbooked really quick. The whole thing in the middle with Bill Alfonso and Taz coming out, and fairly so because the referee is knocked out. But then hit the high road when he comes back too. And this kind of bothered me too. Bill Alfonso's always been a character guy who wants to be in the middle of everything, wants to be in the fray. And then for him to just kind of leave, just kind of go back, it kind of, I don't know, it made me feel really weird.
Yes, but I don't want to argue. I mean, I'd argue that he's not that Bill Alfonso yet.
Makes sense.
Not here.
Yeah.
But you're right. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's and maybe it made me feel this way because I already know what we're gonna get with Bill Alfonso, and that might be why.
He's not calling down the middle right here yet.
No, he's not. You're right. But yeah, just like you said, a lot of weapon shots, a lot of, you know, in my opinion, a lot of overbooking.
100%.
Yeah. A lot of Bill Alfonso and Taz. But we get a DDT by Tommy Dreamer, a pile driver onto the chair, onto Raven. Terry Funk covers Raven, gets the three. Match really isn't over because they just keep fighting in the night. As a cluster as this match was, this is still my match of the night. It's just there's so much to take in from this. And it's credit to all four guys being able to tell a story in the ring as they're working.
Yeah, it sucks because, again, the overbooking, but I mean, that's happening now on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So that's never going to change, but yeah, the overbooking, but yeah, it could have been better. I mean, you know, this is ECW at its earliest stages. So yes, they're doing ECW things. They haven't figured it out yet. And don't get me wrong, they lay way more stinkers than this, but you know, for what it's worth.
Yeah. And it fades to black. So that is ECW November to Remember 1995. Final thoughts, Jeff, about the show.
I enjoyed the show. Again, like I said, I'm an old school guy. I love me some ECW. So just, again, going back and watching some of these old shows, and you forget this, you forget that, or you maybe remember it a little bit different than you did. Mm-hmm. So then you go back and you see it and it's fresh to you. It'll change your mind, change your opinion, or show things in a negative way, positive way, new light, old light. So I just love watching these old shows and bringing them back to life. But I enjoyed it. I absolutely enjoyed it. Now, everything wasn't the greatest by no means. I mean, it's an ECW show. So how good can it be? So there's that, you know. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Some people call this the best ECW event of all time. In form of storyline perspective, it might be, but the in-ring, I don't think really clears the bar from start to finish.
No.
Yeah. I think they really botched the in-ring return of Sabu. I think you could have put really anybody else in that spot, you know, and it would have been miles better. I think the Public Enemy got exposed in their match. And we talked about the Mexican death match a little bit, how it was a little underwhelming. You can see people in the crowd for that match. They were a little confused by everything, what was going on. So, but overall, from top to bottom, this was an above average show. If you're throwing everything together.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, this is kind of a springboard for storyline wise and character development and stable and everything else wise. This is kind of the springboard or the basement, the foundation of what's to come.
Yeah. And with that, this episode is complete. Guys, like, share, subscribe. We are on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on Amazon Music, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We are on YouTube, The Wrestling Purists. Just look for our little logo there. If you like what you're listening to, you like what you're watching, you want to support us in any way, shape, or form, that is patreon.com/thewp. That is THEWP right there at the end. And it is on to next week. Next week, this is a show that I am extremely excited for, extremely pumped for. This is WWF Survivor Series 2001. So this is... this is the end, essentially, of the invasion storyline. You can watch this on Peacock. Again, just like this show we covered today, $4.99 for your basic subscription, $9.99 for ad free.
While I have you, let's keep this going. I like this. Let's stick to our gimmick. What's the first match on that card?
Okay. All right. So the first match on this card is representing, and this is for the European Championship. This is Al Snow representing WWF, taking on the champion at the time representing the Alliance, Christian.
Okay.
At last on his own.
My personal favorite, but yes.
But unlike Kim, we are always here. We're always a tag team. We are the wrestling purists. We will see you next time. Stay pure.